We've been talking about renewal, and part of the pathway to renewal is resting in the Lord and resting in the sense of, Lord, I am confident in who you are. And so Paul had reached that place in his life. Let's look together in Acts chapter 20, and we'll begin to read in verse 17. If you're there, say, praise the Lord. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. And so he's bringing together those that he's loved, that he's poured into, leaders in the church, and he's bringing them back together for this. In a sense, he's saying farewell to them, and this is what he's saying to them. When they arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would help be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. And I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus. And in verse 22, it's very important we get this in our hearts. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. I want you to say that with me. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. Not knowing what will happen to me there, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Lord, it's my prayer today that you would use, Lord, use this clay vessel, Lord, I'm nothing without you. Use these lips, God, to speak your word in a way, God, that would penetrate our hearts. Let your word, God, be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We'll hide it in our hearts that we won't sin against you, but follow you hard all the days of our life. And it's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said amen. 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 Give somebody a fist bump or a high five before you're seated. When we think of the word rest, everybody say rest. Rest in the sense of there's an assurance I have in God. There is a place in God. There is a union with God. And I believe Paul had reached that place, Rich. I believe he had found a place in God where he was one with the Lord. And he says these words in verse 22. He says, and now I am compelled. Everybody say, I am compelled. I am compelled. And that word compelled can also be understood as a word bound. I am bound. It kind of reminds me of Hebrews 4:12. It says the word of God is living and active. It's able to divide bone and marrow, soul and spirit. So bone and marrow are one thing. They're so closely intertwined together. They're one. And the same with soul and spirit. It's the soul and spirit of a man or of a woman. It's like one. It's one. You're one whole person. You're one whole being. And you have soul and spirit. And so you are bound. That's bound together. It says the word of God, though, is living and active, able to get in there. And divide and divide that bone and marrow, divine that soul and spirit, to do a work in our hearts. And so we come to a place where you say, Lord, I am compelled by your Spirit to follow you. I am compelled to love you. I am compelled to know who you are. You're here this morning because you woke up, and aren't you thankful that God put air in your lungs? He put a right mind in your mind. He put a zeal in your spirit. And you said, I've got to go to church today. I've got to worship today. I am compelled, I am bound to go and worship my God. And that's why you're here. I'm bound to know him. I'm bound to go deeper in God. And as many watching online, you say, Pastor Steve, I wish I could be in the house today, but maybe physically you're not able to come. Maybe you're physically you're challenged in your body, but you're bound to God where you're at in your life, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, you're bound to God. You're compelled to know him. Aren't you thankful that you have that you've been illuminated enough grace in your life to know that you need God, to know that you want to be bound in him, you want to be compelled to know who he is. And it's important to you. Look at your neighbor and say, it's important to me. It's important to me to know who God is, to be in his presence, to be among people who are seeking after the Lord. And it's my heart that we would experience renewal. Renewal, that we experience the presence of God, the power of his Holy Spirit, the manifestation of his presence in our lives and pouring out through us to all that need to hear that Jesus loves them. I am compelled. You see, there's a backdrop here of Acts chapter 20. The author is revealing to us that the reader, the person of Paul, the character of Paul, he's revealing the character of Paul to us. Paul is trying to get to Jerusalem before the day of Pentecost, and because there's a plot by the Jews against his life, he's decided to go back through Macedonia. And while he is in Troas, he has an encounter with this young man named Eutychus, and we talked about that a couple weeks ago. He falls out of this three-story window, and there's this place where Paul comes down, prays over him, and he's resuscitated. He's brought back to life. And it's my prayer that we are being resuscitated. Hello, amen. Resuscitated in the things of God. He's bringing life. He's breathing life in us. I don't know about you, but I don't want a day to go by without the Holy Spirit breathing life into me. I want him to breathe in me every morning when I wake up. I don't want to say good Lord this morning. I want to say good Lord, good morning, Lord. I want to say good morning to my Lord. And I want to say, God, whatever you have for me today, I want you to pour in me and pour through me, God. I need your breath today. I need to hear a word from you. I need resuscitation, Lord. I need your breath in me. So he's trying to get to Jerusalem before the day of Pentecost, and he makes these detours, but the Holy Spirit leads him in these places, and he's experiencing these things. And we see in Acts chapter 20 where he says that he's meeting with these elders, these pastors, these other fellow gospel bearers, if you will, in Ephesus, and he's saying, this is possibly the last time I'm going to be with you. Matter of fact, later on, you'll see where he says that he is saying goodbye to them, and there's tears, there's sorrow, but in that moment they realize that he is reiterating to them, I have served you with great humility and with tears. I have poured out my life like a drink offering. And he's not regretful about that at all, but he's saying that I want you to see something in my life. And it's important we get this today, is that as we journey through this life, how many know that we're in a season of life. And let's just talk about America, if we will, in the United States, where we are very comfortable, in a sense, other than this pandemic. And I don't know about you, but we saw a surge last night on the news where the COVID is not over yet. We're in a post-COVID era, they say, but we're also still in this pandemic, and we're not sure where we're headed with this. And so we're in a place where the church, really, I believe, is reintroducing itself to our nation. The church is reintroducing itself to this world that we live in. And how many know that people need to know Jesus loves them? How many know we're in trouble as a nation? Does anybody see that? How many know we're in trouble in the world? There's trouble all around us. And I want you to know, guys, we have the answer, and his name is Jesus. I know that sounds simple, but guys, if we are truly hungry for renewal, for the presence of God to sweep in and through us, he will use his church in these last days. I believe with all my heart that God has ordained the church to be the conduit for his Holy Spirit to pour through to minister in this last days, this end time revival. I'm believing God's going to send a third wave revival. I'm praying for that. I'm believing for that. I'm believing he's going to pour his Spirit out on his church so he can use us. What many church leaders are saying today, and what the people who watch church trends and those kind of things, is they're saying now, get ready now for the influx of people that will be coming this fall into our churches. People are ready to get back, and they're getting ready to get back around other people, and they're ready to get back in fellowship, and they're ready to get back in church. And so we've got to be ready, not only for those who want to come back to the church, but also those who are looking for a home, those who have no home church, those who don't know God, but that need God, and those who the Holy Spirit's going to pour through you to reach. And so we've got to be ready for them. And so for us to be ready, how many know we need renewal as a church? We need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, an infilling with the Holy Spirit. We've got to be that like that flow of that river that flows, that life that can flow through us. So the thing is, I see about Paul, he's reached this place where he's poured his life out like a drink offering, and he's served with tears and humility. But he also has gone through tremendous testing and plots by Jewish opponents, but he's learned to trust God completely. And he's also learned to rest in God. And so what I want to talk with you just a few moments right now is having that place of rest. Everybody say rest. Rest in the sense that I have a confidence in God. I have a security in God to where I'm not anxious. And there might be someone here this morning, you feel a little bit anxious, and I know what that feels like. And you might be a little bit troubled by a circumstance in your life and things that are out of control that you can't control. But I want us to dig in and let the Holy Spirit help us to find a place of rest where we're not anxious. Hello? We're not worried. We're not overwhelmed by the circumstances of life, but we just find a place where we say, Lord, you know what faith is? I have a trustful confidence in God and in His Word. That's what faith is. Lord, I've gotten to a place where I know things can happen that just pull the rug out from under my feet, and things happen in my life that can rock my world. But Lord, I have a trustful confidence. Faith is a trustful confidence in God and in His Word. I'm going to say that one more time. Faith is, if you want to know what faith is, it's a trustful confidence in God and in His Word. It's even when I don't feel like raising my hands and worshiping Him. In the midst of my trial and my storm, I will say, God, I will love You, not because of what You've done for me, but because of who You are. I will lift Your name up high. It's in the middle of a difficult situation where I can't feel God, I don't sense God, I don't know where He's at, and I'm wondering what in the world's going on. It's when I say, Lord, though He slay me, yet I will serve Him, as Job said. It's a place where I say, God, I will trust You no matter what. No matter what happens to me, I'm going to trust You. And I believe that's a place of rest, a place of confidence and security in who God is. Sarah and Matt aren't here this morning, but I was going to relay a story. When our daughter Madison, when she was about 9 or 10, she got into horses, and she got into horseback riding, and she wanted lessons. And so we found this little stables close by to where we live, and we went out, and so we started taking her out once. I think it was probably Saturday or Sundays, we'd go out in the afternoon, and she would take these horseback riding lessons, and she really enjoyed that time. And there was an old horse that he just knew the ropes. He knew what to do. And when they would work for these competitions, they would work up for these days where they'd have these competitions, and someone would come in to grade the girls and the kids on their riding. And they could either do, was it English riding or rodeo? And I think she wanted to try a little bit of both, but she liked the Western riding. But she had this horse, he just knew what to do. Because he had been through it so many times, older horse. And so when she would walk the track, she would always get blue ribbons, and we were so proud of her. But she would learn how to back it up and how to walk over things. But she would get this gallop going around the ring, and she would start working with the horse and so not to fight the horse, but to kind of get into the groove of riding that horse. And she would do that so nicely. But that horse was so good; he just knew exactly what to do, and he just kind of helped her along. And I thought about that, how we walk in our life with this journey we call being a Christian or following after God, this journey we have in God. And it's really about finding that groove and finding that place in God where we're walking in cadence with His presence. We're walking in cadence with Him. And we're walking as one, and we're moving as one, and we're not just compartmentalizing who God is and switching Him on and off, but He's with us all the time, and we're walking in cadence with God, and we're walking in step with Him. And this is really, I believe, where Paul had found a place of rest in God. It was a 24/7 relationship. It wasn't something that we just did on Sunday mornings. Hello? It wasn't something we just did on Easter and Christmas. It was something that he did every day of his life, 24/7, 365 days a year. He worshiped God, and he knew who God was. And that's where that resting in the Lord comes from. And I believe that's what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 30, where Jesus said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Say that with me if you will. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And what Jesus was referring to, rather than just taking that for what it says, he was really referring to, it was a heavy burden of the system of works that the Pharisees was placing on the people, in the backs of the people. And Jesus was offering this as a relief to that. We see in Matthew's gospel, Jesus will rebuke the Pharisees for laying on heavy burdens on their shoulders. And the people in Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, he was saying, they, the Pharisees, tie up heavy loads and put them on people's shoulders. So the yoke of the Pharisees is this burdensome yoke of self-righteousness. It was a legalistic way of thinking about living for God, a legalistic law-keeping, if you will. It's been said by biblical scholars that Pharisees had over 600 regulations regarding what qualified as working on the Sabbath. I don't know about you, but growing up on the Sabbath to my grandma was on Sunday. And you didn't do anything on Sunday. Anybody ever grow up like that when you had grandma and grandpa? Sunday was a day of rest. And I'd go over to grandma's house and I'd say, well, I couldn't cut the grass this week, so I'm going to cut it today. She said, nope, you're not. No grass cutting on Sunday afternoon. That was just her way of keeping the Sabbath. She said, no work. And so there was this, I don't know about you, but there's lots and lots and lots of laws and regulations that I probably couldn't keep up with. And so the Pharisees would say, if you're going to keep the Sabbath, there's over 600 things that you can't do on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to them, he said, you're putting heavy loads on people's backs. He said, come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, when you're walking in cadence with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit a part of your life, he says we are co-laborers together. That yoke, it's one that we're taking on together, we're walking together. And so we're walking, and Jesus saying, I'm with you every step of the way. Aren't you thankful we have a Savior whose name is Jesus? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you every step of the way, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how light it is. He said, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'm thankful for that in my life. Remember, one of the lawyers asked him, he said, okay, in light of all this, Jesus, then what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36, you can almost read between the lines this man's questions. What law of all the laws we have do I absolutely have to keep, Jesus? If it's out of these 600, then you're saying that your yoke is light, your burden is light, your yoke is easy. Then what is it that I have to do to keep the law? I love what Jesus' answer was to that. You guys help me with that. What did he say? He said, love God and love people. That's what he said. He said, love God and love people. And if you keep these two commandments, then you're doing what we're supposed to be doing. It's not a matter of keeping this heavy load, this heavy burden, but to find rest, to find the strength renewed in us, to be renewed in strength in him, to rest in him, I believe is to, first of all, partner with Jesus. Everybody say that with me, partner with Jesus. In other words, take on his yoke. He said, take my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so when you said yes to Jesus, you entered into that yoke with the Lord, right? That two-person yoke, that two-animal yoke, if you will, you took it upon your shoulders, and Jesus was right there with you, and he's pulling it with you, and you're co-laborers in Christ, and you're taking it upon yourself. And so when we are married to Jesus, listen, when we are married to Jesus, we become yoked with him. We become yoked with him. We share everything. When I married Mary Alice, we became one flesh. And we'll be married, I better get this right, 35 years this year in September, 35 years. And we became one. We became one flesh. We began to learn what that meant to share everything. We shared, our finances became one. Our time is shared. Our calendar was shared. Early on in our marriage, we had to learn what being married, what being yoked to one another really means. And you guys know what I'm talking about. And this took time. Amen? And she had a lot of patience for me early on. I'm thankful for that. And she still has a lot of patience for me. You no longer live for yourself, but rather you learn to put the other's needs before you. And that's the way it is when we come to Christ. We say, Lord, it's not about me, but it's about you. It's about your will for my life. It's about time with you. It's about what you want for my life. I'm so thankful that we have a Lord who is patient with us. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it says that they became one flesh. Everybody say one. One flesh. Mark 10, verse 8, and the two will become one flesh, no longer two, but one. And this is where Paul, I believe, had gotten into his relationship with the Lord. They had become one. Getting back to that mental thought of being bound, if you will, that image of being bound, of being one. I am compelled. I am bound in Christ. I've decided to take on his yoke, and we're walking that together. We're pulling that together. We're in this together. We're one together. We're married. I'm married to Christ. I find rest in him. I'm united with him. I'm serving him. You know, when you're serving him in a place of surrender, in a place of oneness, then that is an act of worship from you. You're saying, God, I trust you. I love you, and I'm worshiping you by taking on this yoke, your yoke, Lord. The Old Testament, the Hebrew word for yoke, or the Hebrew meaning for yoke, is like a staff or a rod. And that's really, you know, where the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they got this mentality of this yoke being laws and regulations. And it was more of a, well, I'll put it this way. I love when I do premarital counseling for couples. And of late, and probably in the last few years more so, if you ever use the word submission, it's like you lose the girl right off the bat. If you know, when you read submission or you say submission, this is it, if I use the word submission. And what that the connotation there is that you know I have to submit everything he wants, or I have to submit myself to his way or the highway. And that's not really, and that's more of an Old Testament definition of what submission would be. But in the New Testament, the word yoke would be more of a servitude definition, the word yoke. It's a servitude. It's saying, Jesus, I am bound to you, but I'm serving you, and it's my act of worship. I am bound to you. We are one. We're walking in cadence together. We're walking through life together. We're journeying together, but we're one. And so when you think of marriage in that sense, that where we're one, it's a respect for one another. Submission is I submit to you, you submit to me, and there is respect for one another. There is a submission to one another, and it's a beautiful thing. And so it's servitude. Listen, when we take matters in our own hands, when we lean on our own means and our own understanding, we are subjecting ourselves to a heavy yoke. I'll say it one more time. It's that place where we say, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to carry this burden. You are subjecting yourself to a heavy load, to a heavy burden. You're subjecting yourself to that. You're saying, I don't know where you're at, God. I'm going to work on this myself. Or you don't even give it to God. I'm going to try to fix it myself. And part of that is I'm worrying about this myself. I'm going to be anxious about this on my own. I'm going to be overcome by this on my own. You're taking upon yourself the yoke that Jesus never implied for you to take. Never wants you to take. He's saying, take upon me my yoke. We'll work through this together. Aren't you thankful, though, when you go through times you don't know where God's at, and you look back, you say, God, I don't know how I would have made it without you during that time. Thank you for your faithfulness. I love what the word says, that he is not faithless. He's always faithful, even when we are faithless. Even when we are faithless, even when we are in lack, he is strong. Amen? Where we are weak, he is strong. When we are lacking faith, when we don't have a faith enough to muster up, enough faith to have faith for the moment, he says, I will be with you in that moment. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he says, he has to be faithful to you. He's a God of yes and amen. Even when I'm faithless, he will remain faithful. He cannot disown himself, Scripture tells us. He will be faithful no matter what. So when we take matters in our own, listen, when we take it in our own hands, we take on a yoke of bondage. No longer faith, but fear. We take it upon ourselves. No longer faith, but fear. No longer God is with me, but rather, God, where are you? You ever been through that before? Not so much, God, thank you for being with me, but God, where are you? It's a matter of, I'm no longer confident in God, but rather I'm operating in my own confidence. It's a spirit of heaviness. It's a spirit of anxiety. It's a spirit of disillusionment. This brings about a yoke, really, of self-dependence. We have to be careful here, because when we are being self-dependent and self-reliant, it really is a place of, if you will, it can be a place of wickedness, because it's putting yourself before God. It's putting an idol before God. And he says, you shall have no other gods before me. And it's a place of disobedience in God. And so my taking on that yoke and trusting him in is really an act of worship to God. You're saying, God, I submit my will to your will. I take on your yoke because you said your yoke is easy and your burden is light. I'm trusting in you in this, O Lord. I'm trusting in you in this moment, this thing that's overwhelming me. I don't know how to do this, Lord. I need you. I need you in this moment. And so Paul, I believe, had reached a place in his relationship where he said, Lord, no matter what I go through, the chains that I wear, the prisons that I am in, the beatings that I take, he says, no matter what I go through, I am bound in you and I am chained to you, Lord, no matter what. I think many times when we take communion, we don't think of taking or sharing in the Lord's afflictions. Communion is really saying, Lord, I am bound in you. I am bound to you. And even though he has suffered for us, and we don't have to suffer because he suffered for us, we are taking part in his afflictions. We are taking part in his suffering. We are taking part in his death and resurrection. Aren't you thankful you have a Jesus who was raised from the dead, who has the power and the authority to live in us and through us and raise us to a place that we desire in him? I'm hungry for the Holy Spirit. I'm hungry for his presence. I'm hungry for a renewal in my life. I'm tired of living life where I'm feeling like I'm doing it on my own, or I'm by myself, or I'm being self-reliant. It's not about me, but it's about him. I don't know where you're at in life this morning, but maybe you're saying that with me. You're saying, Pastor Steve, I'm with you on that. I want to be renewed in God. I know there's people in my life that are dependent on me. I know there's demands at work. There's demands in life. And I can't do it by myself. Some of you mamas out there, you young moms, you just feel like some days you can't take it. You can't take it anymore. You've got so much on your plate. Some of you guys, you work more than 40 hours a week. You work more than 50 hours a week, and you're doing all you can do to keep things afloat. Sometimes you come home and you feel like you've given it your all, and you've got to continue to give it all. Listen, you can't do it by yourself. I don't know how people live without God. I don't know how people live without God. I'm not saying it's the superficial thing where we feel we get goosebumps. It's not that. It's a place in God where I am bound in him. Now listen, so when you bind yourself in the things of God, Sam, when you commit it to God and you trust him, there are things in his word that will come back to you in truth. Because he could not disown himself, Ralph. God will be God in your situation because the word tells me that he will. Because the Bible says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And so God is living in me. And God's promises are for you. If you are bound in Christ, then you're married to him. Do you hear me this morning? And he is committed to you. So whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it by yourself. I'm not saying life is going to be easy and life's going to be a rose. I'm not saying any of that. But I'm saying when you're going through the rough patches, and those watching online, when you're going through difficulties, if you're bound in Christ, then he's got your back. I saw a sign in the yard the other day that says, God's got this. So that'd be a good sermon series. God's got this. But God's got you. Buddy, God's got you. He had you this week, didn't he? Yeah, when you guys had a little scare, God had you. God's got you. Jason, God's got you, man. You know that. Susan, God's got you, and Pastor Bernie. Brother Jackson, God's got you because you're bound in him. You've been serving the Lord ever since I was a young man at this church. You're committed to God. And so I have no doubt in my mind because his word tells me that he's committed to you. You've decided to take on that yoke. And you're not by yourself in that yoke. You're pulling that yoke, but Jesus is right there with you. He's committed to you. You see, it's a matter of just The renewal part then, here's the beautiful part about this. The renewal part of that is that when I marry Christ, when I become bound in Him, then I receive all the promises He has for me. If you don't believe me, then read Psalm 103, one of my favorites. It says, "And forget not all His benefits." What are benefits? Well, you name it. Just read Psalm 103, you'll find out. Who heals all our diseases, who saves us, He redeems us. It's a renewal. Renewal can only come when I rest in Him. And resting in Him, I believe, is finding that place of rhythm in God. You know, the older I get, the more I learn my rhythms of life. What do you mean, Pastor Steve? It's just that those places where I'm kind of in sync. You know, I feel like I'm in sync with who I am. I know myself better as I get older. And rhythm of life. And I think there's a rhythm we find in God, in our relationship with Him. And that rhythm, I believe, brings refreshing. It's a place of walking in cadence with Him. It's a place of surrendering to Him. It's a place of saying, "Lord, I'm resting in You." Everybody say that word, rest. Rest. Not in the sense that I'm sleeping, I'm just kind of hanging out and just doing whatever. No, it's a place of commitment. It's a place of submission. It's a place of confidence. It's a place, Lord, I'm saying, "Lord, I'm married to You. I'm married to You." Let's pray together this morning. Can we all stand together this morning? I've had the song in my heart this morning, and maybe we'll get to sing it together. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. I want you to watch this. When I take upon myself His yoke, now watch this. I partner with Jesus. I partner with Him. My concerns are married to His answers. My concerns are married to His answers. My anxiety becomes married to His peace. Does anybody hear me this morning? My anxiety becomes married to His peace. My sickness becomes married to His healing virtue. Did you hear me? When I am bound in Christ, my sickness becomes married to His healing virtue. There are promises in His word. My lack becomes married to His supply. Can somebody say praise the Lord for that? In other words, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And He says to us in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto Me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before You right now. And those watching online by way of internet, we want to invite you to pray with us right now. Father, I thank You for Your love. I thank You, God, for Your commitment to us. I thank You, Father, for this example we see in Your word of the Apostle Paul, who had found a place of, Lord, surrender in You and rest in You. And maybe someone that's here this morning and say, "Pastor Steve, I am restless in my spirit. Life is just overwhelming me right now, and there's things out of control in my life, and I don't know how to get my bearings sometimes, and I need to find a place of rest in Him right now." I want you to know, my friend, the Holy Spirit is here, and He wants to pour out His presence in your life right now. I want you to reach out to Him and say, "Father, that's me. I need rest in You. Lord, I'm sorry that I've been so busy, Lord. And I ask You to forgive me, Lord, for not taking time to know You, Lord, in a way that You want me to know You. And I ask You to forgive me for my sins. Forgive me, Lord, for not putting You first." If that's you this morning, I can't pray it for you, but you just begin to pray out to God right now. Say, "God, I need You. I need You, God. I know You've got this. I know You want this, Lord, but I know You want to know me, God, but I need You right now, Lord, and I pour up my life before You." Maybe you're watching and you just happened on this, and I thank You for taking time to be with us. Listen, Jesus loves you. And he wants to know who you are. He wants to get to know you, but you've got to place your life in his hands. You've got to come to a place of surrender. So just pray it like this. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that I need you. And I know, Lord, that I can't make it right on my own. And I ask you to forgive me, Lord, of all of my sins. Come into my heart, be my Lord and be my Savior. And I'll thank you, Lord, for loving me that way. And I'll love you back, Lord. I'll follow you hard all the days of my life in the name of Jesus. Let me pray for those in the room right now. You say, Pastor, I just feel overwhelmed. As a matter of fact, let's do it this way. I want you to just put a hand on a shoulder close to you this morning, or just wrap your arm around someone just close to you this morning, or just put a hand on someone's shoulder all across the rows here. I want us to pray one for another right now. Thank you, Lord. I know it might be a little uncomfortable, but I just want you to begin to pray one for another. Would you pray right now aloud in the name of Jesus? Father, I thank you for my friend. I thank you, Lord, for my family member here at First Assembly. And I pray, God, for a renewal of your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you would help them not to feel overwhelmed by the circumstances of life, whatever they're going through. But God, your presence, Lord, help them to find rest right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, a sense of renewal, a sense of rest, a sense of your presence, God, would just, Lord, overtake them right now in the name of Jesus. I welcome your Holy Spirit, Lord. I welcome your Holy Spirit, Lord.